I mean, we talked about them. We luckily it was a big bag. We ate them. We said how juicy they were and how they just, oh, the flavor, it's over the top and whatever. Well, we got the idea to save the seeds so that we could plant them and try to propagate our own tree so that we could have the same kind of fruit year after year. Well, I hate to tell you, but I just saw a little baggie up in the cupboard the other day and I pulled it down and, well, it was the tangerine seeds. Yes, they were good. They were heavenly to eat. The fruit was beautiful. But the sad part is that the seeds are still in the bag. In my busyness that I, you know, I guess time went by and I neglected to plant them. I can talk about them all I want, even dissect them, but unless I plant them, are they not dead to me? So I learned a lesson that my garden is not going to bear fruit if I neglect to plant. Tragically, I think that sometimes this is how we handle the Word of God. We have tasted it, and it's really good. It's a blessing, and we know we want more. But let's search our hearts today and see if, like the words that we sang in our song today, if we really have looked into the holiness of God and if we've gazed upon the loveliness of God. I'm going to share with you the parable about that Jesus taught one day beside the sea. And I know that he yearns for each and every one of us to understand this parable because right after he told it, the Bible says he cried out, "He who has ears, let him hear." Reading from Luke 8, 4 through 8, says, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. It was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered because it lacked moisture. Some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked it. But others fell on the ground, good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. When Jesus had said these things, the sovereign of heaven cried in an anguished voice, "He who has ears, let him hear." He knew the people wanted a Messiah that would perform mighty deeds and bring Israel into a dominant kingdom in the world. But instead, he wasn't talking about the force of arms, but about implanting a new principle in the hearts of men in order for the kingdom to prevail. Because the disciples' hearts had been softened by the Holy Spirit, and they had received the seed of truth with joy, their minds were open, which is what we want today. Jesus was able to explain the meaning of the parable later to them. And, of course, that follows in Luke. Luke 8, 11 to 15. "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, and the devil comes and takes away the word, lest they should believe and be saved. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and they have no root. They believe a little while, and then, in time of temptation, they fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, they go out, and they're choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and they bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear much fruit." Christ was asking his hearers, "What are you going to do with my words? What are you going to do with my message? And what are you going to do with my life?" As he told this parable, He knew that their eternal destiny depended on the answer to that question. Because the seeds in the story represent the truth about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus on earth and what that means to each and every one of us. We could open doors and windows within the room of the Bible and we could expand forever. It's very hard to keep it concise, but our mind can go on about the truth about Jesus, the Good Shepherd, the door to salvation, the fountain of water springing up into everlasting life, on and on. So we have to ask ourselves when we hear this parable, each one of us, what kind of dirt are we? What kind of soil? Are we the soil along the wayside that was trodden down? Imagine a hard pathway where we've been inattentive to the Holy Spirit. When the seed falls on our heart, there's no way it's going to penetrate because it's just hard as a brick. The good ground hearer, however, would receive the word, not as the words of men, but as the word of God, the word of truth. The good ground would believe that God is speaking to him personally when he reads Scripture, and he would tremble at the word, open his heart, and then turn and love others as Christ commanded us to do. Or am I like the stony soil with a divided heart? Part soil, part stone. I'm not fully surrendered to God. I'm not fully trusting him and taking him at his word because there's a lot of things that I know how to do. Maybe I've been a Christian my whole life. Maybe I'm a fourth generation Adventist and I've kind of learned how to ride the bicycle, so to speak. I know what I believe. I know how to act. I know how to keep the Sabbath. But in reality, do I allow the Holy Spirit to speak to me and do I hear? As Jesus cried out, "He who has ears, let him hear." We must let the Holy Spirit soften our heart because we have to take the seed of truth in deeply enough to form roots. This is what will keep us from wilting in the time of trial, like the parable says. The good ground hearer believes that he must be reborn to receive the deep-rooted victory that God's power offers us in his life. The good ground here realizes that to serve both self and Christ is half-hearted. Remember, the Beatitudes said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Pure meaning not divided. To go the full distance, Christ only enthroned in his heart, God will give us the will for this kind of life when we are reborn through the Holy Spirit. Am I like the thorny soil, which was the third soil, where my motivations and my ambitions, good or bad, steal my primary affection away from my Lord and onto my activities? It's really easy to, in an active church family like ours here, especially in an active church family like ours here, to be so devoted to working for others, making food, you know, serving, doing the music, whatever we do, that all those activities, though they are so good, and though we are being a servant, they steal away the hours of devotion from our life. And it can happen. It can happen. And that is a divided life, too. When we think of thorns, primarily, though, we think of things that are bad, right? You've got weeds in your garden. I've got weeds in my garden. They need no cultivation whatsoever. They just come. They're just happy to come. I have weeds in my yard that when I pull the weed, little seeds just shoot out from them. Do you have those kind of weeds? And you have the realization that by trying to disturb that weed, you're actually planting 20 more. And it's true. I saw a nature DVD that showed that the other day, and I was like, yeah, that's my weeds. It is really hard when a weed becomes mature and is giving seed to get the weed out of your garden. We've got to get them out when they're little and they're not so thorny. We have to control our weeds. With all these distractions that are around us, which are the weeds, the thorns, our world is full of them. There are games, talk shows, chats, bells, beeps, blogs. Many of these things are really useful, but they can be like thorns. I know. We have to control them. Before we know it, we're more needful of those things than we are the still waters that we must have to know our Savior and develop fruit. Sudoku cannot save you. And this is the book where you find God's face. Jesus said caringly to Martha, as she whipped around her house, making food and being irritated that her sister was sitting there listening, Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and you're careful about so many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, and it shall not be taken away from her." A quiet devotional hour will align our lives with Jesus. And this is good ground hearing, listening, and beholding the living word. The ultimate seed that Jesus sowed was the laying down of his own life. He talks about it in John 12:24. When some Greeks had come into town and he realized that the hour of his death was soon. He says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." And we know when we hold a little seed, it looks so dead. And when it's sown into the earth, the outer kernel, as we can see it, is undone and dies. But there's a germ of life within the seed that never dies. So when this new plant grows, one kernel becomes many kernels. The thing that really caught me last fall when I was reading this parable, taking a quiet hour, was that there is power in every word of God. Every command has a power in it to help fulfill that command. Every promise of God's word has the power in it to fulfill that promise. It's like a seed. These are all seeds of truth in the gospel. The seed has the life within it to grow and produce. That's amazing. It's the power, the very life of God, by which the command may be fulfilled and the promise realized. So he or she who by faith receives the word of God into their heart is receiving life from God. There's power in every word of the truth of the gospel, and it's waiting to be planted in the soil of men's hearts, where it may be born and reborn again and again. Jesus said in John 6:63, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." So we can take these seeds, the word of God, we can hold them in our hand, We can look at them. We can talk about them. We can teach about them. We can discuss them. We can dissect them. We can bring them down on somebody else's head when we feel the need. But if we each one of us, each and every one of us, don't take them in, do our heart, softened by the working of the Holy Spirit, then they are of no effect in our life. Just like my little baggie of unplanted tangerine seeds that are up in the shelf. I might seem like a vibrant Christian, but under pressure, if I don't have that power to overcome that the Word of God provides, those words are dead to me. The Bible is so thick with symbolism. I love that. I love applying one thing to another in the Bible. So, if these seeds truly are the Word of God, in the book of John, Jesus is called the Word. When we take in the Word of God, we are accepting Jesus into our heart. Now, I teach kindergarten here, and we sing, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And then we sing, shine out of my heart. Shine out today, shine out always. Shine out of my heart, Lord Jesus. Dorina sang about that today in the song. Did you notice it said, when the things that surround become shadows in the light of you. When we look into the Word of God, and when we look into the glorious holiness of God, when we gaze upon the loveliness of God, the song says, the things that surround become shadows. That's the light shining out. The shadows of our problems, finances, marriage, health, whatever, that we're overshadowing us, all of a sudden, those shadows are going away from us. They're falling the opposite direction. When that happens, we truly worship God. Last Sabbath, David said, fear God. And as an Adventist, when you hear that, fear God, what comes next? Give glory to Him. Yes, it just kind of flows off your tongue. So, I believe when we gaze into the loveliness of God by taking His Word in, His light truly shines out. And when we let that light shine before men, it glorifies our Father in heaven. Jesus said, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. John 5:24. In accepting the Word of God, we accept the salvation of God. We gain Jesus' life, the power of God to fulfill each promise and each command in our life. We gain everlasting life. Jesus said, what do we lose by not accepting? We could make a big long list, but I'm just going to say, we lose the life-giving seed. I'm going to tell you one little personal story. When the kids were little, there was a game of life going on. You know, the board game. And they were busy with their little plastic cars driving around the board. And one of the little kids said, I just can't get any kids in my car. I just want kids. And she went around the board and missed every chance. And it was really becoming disturbing. She had money. She had other things in her little stash. But finally, she got a daughter. And that was a little pink plastic peg. She could stick it in her little plastic car and go around the board. Now everything was glorious. Beaming with joy. Sure enough, as those games go, she either landed on a square or she drew a card, I don't remember, that imposed a heavy fine on her for something that she had done. And so she just said, oh, okay. $200,000? Okay. Gets her little cash out and starts paying the fine. No problem. Too young to know, you know. The other kid said, hey, you're not supposed to be this happy. Look at, you've got $5 left. That's a problem. And for a second or half a second, her little face clouded up and then, no, I'm happy because I have a daughter. And I thought, wow. That's what God says when he looks down on us. I'm looking at a couple hundred sons and daughters right now. God wants a daughter. God wants a son. And you are all those sons and daughters. The day is going to come when we don't have, maybe we can't preach the Word of God publicly, but we'll have it in our heart because we're going to take it seriously. In Luke's parable, he says 100-fold came forth from the good soil. We have no reason not to be good soil, brothers and sisters, except the busyness of life. And I am the chief sinner of that. I realized this whole week, sitting there looking at this parable for a whole week, I kind of had the flu and I couldn't go anywhere. And I just sat in the message. And I realized that I'm neglecting some of that quiet time. So I pray that the man who told the story the day by the lake continues to cry out to my ears and continues to cry out to your ears. He who has ears, let him hear. Today when you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Let's pray together. And then we're going to sing a hymn. It will be He Lives. Let's pray together. Our Father, our dear Father, you truly left and went out from heaven and came to earth with your precious seed to sow on earth for us. Lord, we cannot ignore your life. We cannot ignore the beautiful story that you gave us, the heart-wrenching story of how, Lord, you want to live in us. And Lord, I forgot to read a scripture, and I'm going to read it now. Colossians 1:27 says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. The glory of the mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Lord, we want the hope of glory. We want the hope and the ability to live every day with joy and victory over our trials, Lord. We need victory over death, which you provide for us, Lord. It's very real today. Lord, we can know that you were resurrected and walked on earth. Lord, thank you for making your scriptures sure and making so many of them that the Bible is the greatest book of all time. Lord, may we dust it off. May we keep it in our hand. May we wear it out till the day comes when we see you, the true word of God. And Jesus, we thank you. In your precious name, amen.